Just like you said, just sitting there eating cereal. No, we're not going to remember that, or playing a video game with the iPad. We're not going to remember that. But if it's something that is connected to another person and it's connected to high emotion, I think then those are the things that I look back and remember.
When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. Okay, you guys, welcome back to the Powerful Parenting Journey. I am so incredibly excited. I guess I start the podcast out like that almost every single time because I am truly, I only bring incredible people here on the podcast. But this particular person is someone who I have known for now. I mean, oh my God, it's over a decade. And also too, this person has been extremely influential in my life and in my entrepreneurial journey and in building my business, Social Sparrow. And I just couldn't tell you how honored I am to have him on today because it's not only on the entrepreneurial side, but I also know this man to be someone who genuinely cares about people, genuinely is making an impact in the world, but also too doing his very darndest to show up and be an incredible father. And I see him intentionally, even though he's one of the busiest people I know, I see him intentionally showing up for his family and doing things to invest in time with his family. And so without further ado, I have Dr. Caleb Braddock on with us today. So Caleb, thank you so much for coming on.
I'm esteemed to be here. I'm happy to be included and excited about the conversation.
Yeah, it's I feel like we've got so much to talk about because you have four kids. So tell everybody how old your kids are.
Yeah, so I have Savannah's 14, Hudson's 12, Maddox is 9, and Cora is 6. So boy, our girl, boy, boy, girl. So
wow, full house, man. I feel like though after you have three, you could probably just about have as many as you want. It's just kind of managed chaos after that. but you guys do some pretty stinking incredible things. And I see you intentionally taking vacations. And I know you do things that are beyond these vacations and such, but you guys literally just went on pretty much a safari, right?
We did. Last September, we went to South Africa on a safari with my family. We actually have rebooked another safari this year in September.
Wow.
Oh. So everybody was... it was a pinnacle moment for our family. It was a really special time. I have some really special friends in South Africa. And so everyone is like, when are we going back? When are we going back? And my girls, I mean, my girls aren't necessarily outdoorsy, I guess you could say, like the guys are, but it's a special place. It was real special for our family. So we're excited to go back and do that again.
I'd be excited too. The pictures look phenomenal, but talk to me about why as a father, you are so intentional about these trips and about the time with the kids. I mean, obviously we all want to spend time with our kids, but I feel like what I know of you is you really make a concerted effort to carve out a lot of time during the year that is very specific for your family. Like you're getting away with your family in different places, different locations, you're taking them out shooting, like all sorts of things. So where does that come from?
Well, I think a lot of this, and I'll probably echo this throughout today's podcast, but I have to give so much credit to my wife because some of this was out of my comfort zone initially. I'm a little bit of a workaholic. I like to work. And so my wife was very pivotal in saying that we've got to go. Not, it doesn't even have to be any extravagant, but we got to do something other than work. Like we've got to do some things. And it was probably about 10 years ago, one of my great friends recommended a book, and I, like you, read a lot. And so he tells me about this book called Not Fade Away by Peter Barton. I would implore anybody, that's a top five book of my lifetime, and I read a lot. It's the most gifted book that I've ever had. And so, and it's not an audiobook, right? And I'm an audiobook nerd. I love audiobooks.
Oh,
you have to actually buy the hard copy and read it. But anyway, Peter Barton was... he was the guy that basically started home shopping, QVC. None of that existed until he thought up like, hey, maybe people will shop from the television. So obviously he made a gazillion dollars, very successful. And then he got cancer, did chemo and radiation and beat it. And then a couple of years later, it comes back with a vengeance, and they know he's terminal. He's only got a little while to live. And so for that last year of his life, he hired a journalist to come, not live with him full time, but be there often and basically chronicle his life and his thoughts and his kind of his memoirs. And this guy's got, I mean, it's got endless amounts of money and connections and knows everyone. But to see in the last year of his life, like as time's expiring, the things that he were reflecting back on that were his greatest victories wasn't his yacht or the day he was, rung the bell on Wall Street or any of that. It was these special moments with his kids. And so for me, it gives me goosebumps. For me, it was like, okay, that's going to be something I'm going to be intentional about, memory creation. And so my wife and I have talked about that a lot. We've both read that book. I've read that book maybe three or four times, and I don't reread books. So that's been something we've been trying to do. For a lot of times, it's easy for us to go, hey, well, if we go to a beach or we go to Africa or, those things for sure. But I had to really come to terms with the fact that we can create memories at bedtime on a Wednesday night, right? You can create memories at the dinner table it doesn't have to be lavish and grand. And so sometimes I would neglect the ordinary times, waiting for the extraordinary times. And it's like, man, those memories can happen if you're intentional. And this is something I fail at every single day. Like like Tommy Nelson says, struggle well. I'm just trying to be better at it. But that book was a turning point. That book's not a parenting book either. It's just a life book, but that's where it hit me. It's like, man, we're a memory creation. So like a trophy hunter is always looking for a trophy. Well, those are my trophies, are those memories that I'm creating with my kids. And so we're trying to be as intentional about it as we can.
Well, this resonates so much with me because I actually, lost my dad whenever I was very young and then lost my mother in my 20s. And I'm telling you, before I was 10 or 9, I don't really have many memories. And so I'm like, why is that? What's going on? And so I've been on this journey to look at how do I connect deeply with my kids? And then, how do I help them have the best life they can. And Russell Brunson actually did this, shared with us something that someone shared with him about event horizons. And the whole concept is that our memory and the way that it works is that you have to do things out of the ordinary in order to actually spike your memory so that it actually stays with you. Otherwise, our brain is set up to actually collapse the things that we do over and over and over and over again. And so automatically as a default, it seems like, oh, well, it needs to be something like, oh, well, I'm going to grab the kids and we're going to go to Disneyland, or we're going to go do this crazy thing. And we're going to go, we need to go and, camp or something like that. But in reality, it is the smallest minutiae that can create the longest memories, the biggest memories that can cause that spike where they're actually the thought process is that it elongates life. And so for me personally, just to share this with everybody listening and with you, is I was kind of raised by movies and video game systems, the Nintendo. My mom was very, very sick and we didn't have any other family. And that was what I defaulted to, is watching movies and playing the Nintendo or the Sega or whatever it was at that time. And so, but whenever I look back at my childhood memories and try to remember, I just don't have many. Like, I don't have many. And I'm like, why would that be? And then I got to thinking about it. Like, I don't necessarily remember that one time I beat Super Mario Brothers. I don't remember the time that I watched that movie for the fourth time, because why? My brain knows I don't actually need it, and it can collapse that. And so it doesn't stand. So like our children now being raised with technology, what kind of effect is that going to happen on these? What's going to happen to these generations of kids that are being raised scrolling, scrolling, scrolling? Like, is that going to be enough of a memory spike to where they have these memories, to do with screens and games and all of that? Or is it going to cause our children to feel like they have missing years of their childhood? And so anyway, it's just an interesting concept. And so in the midst of these small times, looking at how we can create these fun memories that stick, I think it raises the bar for us, which it's so funny because isn't that the way it like is intended? Isn't that kind of the way of a family spending time together and then the things just happen? But if we work hard, if we are, business owners and we're doing all these things, we have to work a little bit harder. We have to be those memory trophy hunters, which I love that you put it that way. What are some of the ways that you are looking for that? Like, can you think of an example where you created a really amazing memory in the midst of the mundane?
Well, I think that you've got my wheels spinning now as you're talking about, like there's got to be this spike. But my older son Hudson is started doing shooting, like a competitive shooting sporting place. And so there's been a lot of nights recently that we've gone out and we've been practicing. And so when he has like a really special night, and he is very talented, so it's been fun to watch. He shoots better than I do. And there's just some nights that we're just in a field, and he's learning stuff, but just to connect with something that we both love, we both enjoy, and to see him kind of come into that and kind of grow into like, hey, I'm good at something. There's something that I'm really talented at. I think that's just, I think it's some of those small times that make things fun. Or laughter. I can think of times where we've just laughed until we were sick over something that was just ridiculous, like who even knows, but we can just remember those moments of like, you remember, we did, this is a stupid example, but we were in Branson, Missouri at Big Cedar Lodge, and so we're on vacation and I love food, and we pull up to this breakfast location, and we the only place to park was right in front of the fitness center. And it says fitness. And Savannah's like, oh, dad, fitness. And I was like, I'm all about fitness. Fitness, chicken and sausage in my, or chicken and waffles in my mouth. And, that's a, we've all read that on the internet, but my kids thought I made it up on the fly. And still today, everyone laughs about that memory of just something stupid and funny that I said. And they think I'm the funniest guy ever. And so that's probably been 4 or 5 years ago. And we laughed about that. Like this week, at some point, we laughed about the fitness chicken and waffles in my mouth. So,
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I think when it creates emotion, when it's a high time, super special. I'm gonna say this really fast, so I don't cry. But my 14-year-old Savannah texted us today that she got saved at church camp.
Now you're gonna have me crying. Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
So cool. Yeah, unbelievable. And then my son, who's 12, Hudson, got saved about 2 years ago. And just kind of thinking back on those memories of just there's so much emotion there
Oh
that
yeah.
super
Oh,
powerful. So
super powerful. And I
I think
have
it
to
does
say,
have to be it has to be something that has emotion, something that has funny, something that has power, something that has accomplishment. And so just like you said, just sitting there eating cereal, no, we're not going to remember that, or playing a video game or the iPad, we're not going to remember that. But if it's something that is connected to another person and it's connected to high emotion, I think then those are the things that I look back and remember.
yeah, well, as someone I see you work, we get to work together. So we have an awesome partnership and kind of how we get to work with Social Sparrow and then everything you build over in Genesis, which is an incredible franchise that helps people that are dealing with bulging and herniated discs, you guys. So if you have any issues, you need to look up Caleb Braddock and the Genesis franchise. It's incredible. But man, dude, I see how hard you work and I see how you show up for the people that you partner with and for the people that you're serving. And it's next level. And so I guess my question to you is, whenever you are, looking at this, I would imagine that it sometimes could be really hard to unplug from everything because whenever you grow something as massive as what you have built, what I have built, that weight threatens to come into everything you do after you put the phone down, if you put the phone down, right? So, like, what are some of the things you do for yourself and that you're, you, because I imagine you have to be doing something intentionally to be able to be present in those moments with the weight of everything that you're trying to build.
Well, again, I'm not here as a champion of doing that well. I'm a regular dad, like regularly struggling at that. But we, a lot of my business side, we do pride ourselves the speed of business. I come from a family that knows how to work. From my mother, my father had taught me at a young age how to work. I enjoy work and I love what I do. And And so I do have to be very intentional. My wife will help me with this of like, okay, that's done. Like that can wait till tomorrow. And
Yeah.
there's nothing going on now that's like absolute, craziness, hopefully. And so it's like that can wait till tomorrow. And so I've tried to do better at, I'm not really good at going and putting my phone away. So a lot of times I'll just put the do not disturb on.
Yep.
And so it's still with me. But I have a high addiction to my phone. I have addictive personality and I like to surf and I've like all to know what's going on at any given time. And so it's something that I definitely would say I struggle with. But you're right. You don't have those. No one remembers those core memories when it's like,
Oh yeah.
looking at your phone. And so I do really good. I've got great partners in business, Dr. Chad. And so when I'm out of town, he is graceful enough or gracious enough to let me sign out of the app that I use to interface with. And so I sign out of that for the whole week when I'm gone. And if it's something really important, they'll text me. But this last spring break, we were on a trip for an entire week, and I did not have, I only had one single phone call, but it was one that I chose with a best friend of mine just for fun. And I didn't do Voxer, and I had a chance to just really chill out. And so I'm not great at it. So I'm certainly not here, championing, like, let me tell you how this works, but it's important. So.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is that none of us are perfect, right? It's just about how can we show up powerfully for our kids? And that's the reason for the name of this podcast, is it's the powerful parenting journey, right? Because it's like, how can we look for those pockets where we can be powerful parents in the midst of our perfectly imperfectness, and so it's difficult.
It's real easy too to think that, a lot of my life I've spent like, oh yeah, well, next year or next season or next, once we get this, then I will start to be better at those things. And so about two, not quite 2 years ago, I lost my dad. And it was really, I won't go into that, but it was a really surprise. It was out of nowhere. And so I think back about how many memories that I have of my dad, with my dad. Think about those like all the time. And it's like, man, I really thought we had a whole lot more time. And so then and maybe it's healthy, maybe it's not, but it's like, well, how much time do my kids have with me?
Yep.
And so it's like, okay, it was such a gift. Like it was really rotten to have lost my dad. I can wax and wane on that for a while. But now as time goes on, I start to look at, I even wrote my article of the week in my chiropractic office last week about something I learned from my dad. Even this week, I learned this from my dad. And so just trying to look at like that loss, how is the good Lord going to use that in my life or the lives of my kids to go, okay, I'm gonna create these memories. I'm gonna create these moments. I'm gonna try to be, deliberate in how I'm handling these as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. And, honestly, I think that that is one of the most beautiful things, if there is anything beautiful about grief, is that reflection. And whenever we get to recognize, we sometimes it's easy to recognize the power of someone in our life when they're in our life. But it's really the stark, drastic difference whenever there's an absence of that person, and the revelations that you get whenever someone is no longer in your life. And man, I just believe our kids are given to us for a purpose, right? Us for a purpose. And so we're supposed to show up in their lives because we have something to offer, as imperfect as we are. We have things to offer our kids, and we ha and when we're not there, it makes a huge difference. The lack thereof makes a huge difference. So I think, yeah, you could get unhealthy with that. But wow, when we do lose people in our lives, it wakes us up to something. And I always say that people who have lost someone close, we're all in a club together, that those who haven't yet, unfortunately, they don't know. And fortunately, they don't know. It's a really hard toss up there,
For
right?
sure.
Yeah. But
I think about when we talk about stewardship, we always talk about money. Or when people hear like stewardship, you just think money. And so it's like, man, and I talk about this from a health perspective of kids in my practice a lot. But given the gift of human life, our mini-me's, that have our DNA and our blood flowing through them, it's like, what more are we called to be a good steward of and to raise little world changers, little
Yeah.
torchbearers for truth, of the things that we've come to know and realize to be truth and we acknowledge as truth, and that we can we can mold these minds to go do great things. Like there's a great, I just think of that, with my kids. It's like, man, I just see so much cool stuff in their little brains that it's like we're starting even earlier, and we're getting, we've given them an unfair health advantage. Won't go into that, to really do awesome things and be world changers. And so it would be like waiting until retirement and then going, hey, I should start to save. Well, it's too late at that point. But if you save early by retirement, and so it's like right now, if you start with your kids at a young age, pouring into them and building them up, then hopefully, and I'm not there yet, but by the time they're 18 or 19 and they're off doing their own thing, you're getting to see
Fruit.
the culmination of all the time and effort and sacrifice that we put in early on. At least that's
Yeah.
what I'm hoping.
Hey, powerful parents, Stephanie here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Did you know that statistics show that 88% of Americans say they eat dinner with their family every night or a few times a week? I think that's a pretty awesome stat. But if you're anything like me and you're an entrepreneur, then after a day filled of putting out fires and maybe various events testing your patience, sometimes it's hard to think of questions that can help you really connect with your kids beyond the standard, "How was your day?" When my kids were just littles, I put together a list of questions to solve this problem and to help us have something to connect with over dinner time. And now I would love to share my curated dinner questions with you. This is good for littles and for bigs. There's lots of different varying questions in there. And these questions are going to help to ensure that the conversation is not just lively, but will bring you closer to your children while you enjoy a delicious meal together. As a listener of this podcast, you can get access to these questions at www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Once you're there, make sure to type in your best email, and I'll have my team shoot over the questions for you. Once you get the questions, I encourage you to make this a family affair. Print them out, have your kids help you cut them out. We even grabbed a mason jar and my kids decorated it, and that's where we put all of our questions. And that same mason jar still sits on or near our dinner table to this day. We've been using these questions for close to 8 years now, and I've really enjoyed the fun conversation and connection that's come from them. I hope your family enjoys them as much as mine have. Again, that's www.powerfulparentingtribe.com. Now back to the show. I have a question for you that I'm not sure if you're going to know the exact answer, because I don't sometimes, whenever we're parenting and things are going good, we don't actually know, well, what am I doing that produces that outcome? But I'm hoping you do, because there's your beautiful wife. She posts stories, often, and I just love her to pieces. And you post stories as well. And so, but one of the stories that I always love is when your kids go to Pine Cove, right?
Pinecove, yeah.
Okay. And so, I have been trained now by y'all social media to anticipate the moment that the siblings get to come back together at the end of Pine Cove. Because
Yes.
your kids, they love each other so much that at the end of Pine Cove, I think it's the two olders, right? It's Savannah and your second son,
Yeah.
first son. And he, like, whenever they come back together at the end of Pine Cone, you guys, I have no way of showing you this because it's a past story, but they will literally run to each other like a cartoon. And like, they're like, they come and they hug each other and they literally cry. Like, literally
Yeah.
cry. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, how does that happen? Like, what are you guys doing to build those sibling bonds? Do you think it's personality? Do you think what you've done? Like, do you think what do you think? What? Wow, that's
I know
abnormal.
that
It's
having four
beautiful.
kids, they all have very unique personalities,
Yes.
and every single kid has a unique bond with the other one. So, if Savannah and Hudson, the two older ones, are together, there's this thing that's going on. But then Hudson, my 12-year-old, with my 6-year-old daughter, well, he's totally different, and he's tender with her, and Maddox with the same. And then you get the boys together, something's going to break or get burned, and so they all seem to have this thing. But yeah, so Pine Cove is a week long summer camp for kids, and it's just like what you see in the movies. It's an amazing place in East Texas. But they're there about 3 or 4 miles from each other, but they don't see each other for the whole week because they're in different camps. And so picking up one and then them coming together, and we didn't expect it at first, but yeah, if I can get pretty teary-eyed on that one. It's amazing.
So
So
do you think there's anything there, or is it just their unique dynamic together, Savannah and Hudson, or do you feel like that's something that's cultivated, that you and Amy have kind of worked towards them, really building their sibling relationships?
I don't want to take too much credit for it. I think the good Lord just kind of blessed us, but we do spend a lot of time together. We travel together. The kids have always gone to the same school, which is kind of like a homeschool in one house. So they ride to school together. They spend a lot of time with each other. And so I think that part helps.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Okay, so as you said earlier, you can tend to be on the phone a lot. So how are you guys handling technology in the home? Like what does that look like for your kids and kind of what kind of do you have any rules around technology?
That's a great question. Yeah, so as far as technology goes, I feel like there's a middle ground to make sure our kids are technologically savvy, especially because I believe in business. There's so much that happens in my business that I feel like I have been better suited for because I understand some level of technology, whether that's editing or all of that sort of stuff. And I think there's a lot of creativity that the kids can channel through some of the technology. So I think it's important to embrace. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of technology that is a time suck. It's so one of the things that I constantly tell my kids is, Braddocks are doers, not watchers. And so
Ooh.
to watch them watch somebody else play a video game is so maddening. I can't even see straight. I'm like, Judas played the video game. Or to watch them watch somebody else do YouTube videos, I'm like, be the creator. Like, don't just sit and mindlessly watch these people make millions of dollars. Like, you go be a creator. And so I'm not saying that they're the best at it because they like to just kind of tune out and watch some of that stuff from time to time, but they all are very creative. And so, man, Savannah and Hudson, particular. And then she's included the little ones in making some really amazing videos. Like her content and her YouTube channel, she's got videos with thousands and thousands of views on it. So
Wow.
she's really, really creative. And so much of what I think that her future will hold is going to be harnessing technology and utilizing it in a certain way. So it kind of makes me think of like a gun in the home, right? My house is full of guns. Guns are an object that you get to use them how you choose. So could it be used for malice and ill intent and dangerous situations? Sure. But can it also be used for very positive things and life-saving abilities and protection? Yes. And so I think technology is that way, and it's kind of our responsibility. You wouldn't just toss a gun in the floor and expect the kids to know how to behave around a gun. But sometimes I think we do that with technology that it's like, oh, don't do that. Well, they didn't know. And so we find that a lot of times, that's the carrot and the switch. So that's a lot of times that's the carrot and the switch for us, or the iPads. It's like, okay, nope, we're done. No iPads for a week and they're gone. And when they can play together with Legos or what have you and do really well. But when they play together in a game, I'm not even sure what the game is, but they all get in a game together and then they fight virtually. Yell, scream, you killed me, wait on me. And it's maddening to listen to. So I'm trying not to be the Jed Clampett that says, get that stuff out of my house. I don't want any of it, but to not be negligent and just for them not to have the guardrails or the rules or like, you have to have your other stuff taken care of before we do this. And this is a luxury. This isn't your right to have any of this stuff.
The
If you
privilege.
do well, then you can use this some. So
Yeah, I love that. Do you guys have a stance on phones thus far?
my daughter Savannah could brag and brag and brag about her for a long time, but she has a phone. We got her a phone when she's 14. So for her last birthday, so she's had it almost a year. She does rather well with it. She has good self-control, and she's done really good. My son, who's 12, unfortunately, is identical to me. I mean, identical in
And
looks,
more, yes.
bad attitude, addictive personalities, drive, and so we have not. We're probably going to wait until 14 as well, and then we'll have to get him a phone. But we already know that's going to be a problem for him. It'll be difficult for him. With Savannah, she was our first child. If there was a cupcake, we'd give her a cupcake because she would maybe take a lick and she was done. To this day, she's drank nothing but water. She does
Wow.
not like sugar. So she eats healthy and clean. And it's not because we beat that into her. She just does not enjoy sugar. Hudson would, he would sniff sugar right off the counter if you let him. And so it's like, man, all these kids are so different. We're trying to find the best way to parent each one of them.
Oh,
We like to
isn't
think
that?
the one size fits all, but we were like, oh man, this parenting is actually way easier than everyone says with Savannah. And then we had Hudson, and it's like, oh, okay, all right.
Now you get it. Isn't that so crazy? It's like the crux of the whole situation is that you just there it for one, there is no rule book. And for two, you think you get it figured out with one, and then the next one comes along and just shocks you. And then the third one just throws everyone out of whack. And if you do have a fourth, I don't know how Cora is, but our last one is just, outside of any box we thought we had. And
Yes. Our Cora she's a wild child, and she's got all the flair and all, I mean, lipstick. And I mean,
oh,
if you give
yeah.
her makeup, but I'll say that in our chiropractic office, every day before we open, right before we open, we have a team huddle. Takes about 10 minutes. We talk about pertinent things for that day. And then we always pick patients to pray for, and we pray right before we open. Well, just yesterday, my wife had to get, she had a dentist appointment. So she dropped the two little ones off in my office, 6 and 9, Cora and Maddox. So I was like, hey guys, come up here. We're finishing our meeting. So they come up and they listen to us in the meeting. And I said, hey, which one of you want to pray? And Cora's like, me. And she prayed the sweetest prayer. I didn't tell, she's never listened to that prayer, but she prayed that the right people would come and that they would be able
Wow.
to get healthy and they would get well. And it was just like, just one of those, your just
Yeah.
heart swells. It's like, okay, she's wild and she's crazy, but she really is so tender and kind. And Maddox the same way. They just have such unique personalities that, but they're all so different. And
Yeah,
you would
so
think, well,
different.
boys and girls are different, but no, all four of mine are different. So.
Yes, I'm right there with you, man. Every single one of mine. I mean, there are some crossover similarities that'll happen just because we're a family. But like, man, I guess maybe somebody might have told me that before I started having kids, but I don't remember it because I'm like, nobody told me this. I feel like it's like, wow, or maybe it's just a revelation you have to have. So in your parenting journey, I know that, well, I guess I don't know. I know you said that both your mom and your dad were really strong workers. Like they set that example for you and definitely become a part of who you are. Are there some things that you're bringing over from how you were parented into your parenting journey that you think is serving you really well?
Well, I think a lot of it would be work ethic. I've watched my mom and my dad work hard from a young age. They're both self-made, they did everything themselves. They weren't given anything. And then I feel like I've got that same start, but I feel like I got so much in terms of integrity and the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Like there's so many things that I've heard my dad say that it's like a lot. I've just never been afraid of work. It's like, there's a lot of people smarter than me. There's a lot of people more talented than me, but nobody will outwork me. And I got that from my mom and my dad equally. Like they're both amazing workers. And we had a loving home with parents that cooked dinner and we did stuff together. So I grew up rodeoing, team roping.
Oh,
And
wow.
so my parents invested a lot of money that they might not have even had at the time in order for me and my brother to enjoy that sport. And it wasn't like we got shipped off and we did our own thing. We went as a family every weekend to rodeos and ropings all over Texas and Oklahoma. And so I feel like our parents were real intentional in giving us that ability to enjoy a sport and learn our shortcomings, learn loss, learn winning, how to win, teamwork. I feel like all that was important. And so I'm trying to bring that stuff over. So I know a lot of people have situations with their parents. It was like, I would never do any of the stuff my parents did. I'm doing it all different. My parents did so much good stuff. Now my dad was not a real tender guy. And my mom for that matter too. My dad's one of six boys. And then my
Oh,
mom
wow.
was raised with a brother on a farm. And so there wasn't a lot of like huggy, touchy, feely, emotional stuff. And not that I ever didn't feel love, but that was just,
Not
we
part of
were
it, yeah.
raised on a 3,000-acre working cattle ranch. Like my dad was the quintessential American cowboy. Like There was sweat and blood every day, and it was the real thing. And so I have brought some more of that to say, not just make I feel that you feel that I'm proud of you, but I'll say, I am proud of you. I'm proud of what you did there. And I, as I've exhibited already on today's conversation, I'm a pretty emotional guy. And so, I will laugh with my kids and cry with my kids, and I'm hot. I've got a hot temper, and so there's times that I let my temper get the best of me, and there's times that I go in and say, "Hey, I need you to forgive me. That's not what I should have done." And then my kids have done the same thing. Where now I feel like my son, who also has a hot temper, but he will do stuff, and he'll come and he'll be like, "I'm so sorry. I can't believe I acted that way." And I feel like he's maybe gotten some of that, that I've modeled to him. So that might be the thing I do slightly differently, is bring a little bit more emotion. But yeah, really, really special childhood for me. So.
That's it sounds incredible. I can only imagine. I mean, literally, Caleb, that's the stuff movies are made of nowadays. So cool. But I also too love that it sounds like you're working. I mean, we're all in the in on the journey. We're all in the process, right, of figuring this parenting journey out. But it sounds to me like you are learning how to be your truest self with your family, which I think is one of the biggest gifts that we can give to our kids, that when we do screw up, that we can call it out and we can be real and we don't feel like we have to be perfect. Because I actually see, or I've had a lot of conversations with people whose parents seemed to have been perfect. And so for the rest of their life, they struggled. They felt like they had to be perfect, when in reality, nobody is perfect. But that was the perception that their parents tried to uphold. And so I think it's so cool that you're making space for the ability to screw up and be like, hey, I messed up there. And man, I don't know. I know I have lots of opportunities to do the same and be able to apologize, whether it's hot-headedness or just being a workaholic. I mean, that's definitely my bend as well. And so just because we love what we do, right? We love it.
Exactly.
So we are coming up on time here, so I want to make sure that I respect your time. And so obviously at the end of every podcast, I usually ask a question. And the question is one that is just meant for you to just take a second and just think through, what it means to you. But Caleb, what does it mean for you to be a good father? So like at the end of this, and when your kids, maybe you're no longer here, when and your kids reflect back, what does it mean to you to have been a good father to them?
Wow, yeah, that's a deep question. I think I would hope that they would feel like they had always known me authentically. I feel like I always saw my dad's authentic self, good, bad, or otherwise. He was never like trying to be a certain way when he was being dad, but then he was different. He was always the same. And so, I'm trying to let my kids see me authentically win and authentically lose, and that most of all, just that they knew that they were loved or are loved, and that I'm proud of them. When I think back of that, it's like with my dad, I know he loved me, and I know he was like stupid proud of me. He might not have said it a lot necessarily, but I know, like, I don't question those or doubt that at all. And so, man, it gives me such a groundedness, even though he's not here anymore. I know that he loved me and he's proud of me. And I know my mom loves me and proud of me, and she tells me that all the time. So, but I want my kids to just have that feeling, whether they are CEOs of giant companies and or whether they teach third grade at a small town school, like whatever they do in life, that that I love them and I'm proud of them. And so I think that if I had to answer the question on the spot, that's what I would go with. So
Well, that's an incredible answer, an absolutely incredible answer. And I want to just make sure that anybody who's listening, Dr. Caleb Braddock is an absolute phenomenal human being. And he is also, again, like I mentioned before, running a phenomenal, incredible franchise called Genesis Back and Neck. And I just can't encourage you enough. Also, too, he runs a chiropractic office out in Van Alstine called Braddock Chiropractic. And if you have any chiropractic needs, you got to reach out. But he's just an incredible human in general. And so how can people connect with you, Dr. Braddock? Where would you recommend that they go?
I'm on Facebook, just Caleb Braddock. I think my Instagram is still Braddock Chiropractic, but I use it personally. So Facebook, Instagram, anything like that is great. You private message me if anybody needs anything. It's a special thing to be on here, and I'm obviously talking more as a father, but I'm in one of those really blessed situations to where, you've never seen an airplane fly with one wing. And so while I'm on this wing, I've got an amazing wife on this wing that's balancing out my crazy, and she's one of seven kids herself, so she's
Wow.
pretty much bomb proof at this point. And so anyway, and any good thing that I've gotten, I wouldn't have been able to do or have what we have with these kids without my wife Amy. And so but I think at the end of the day, we're all just trying to figure it out. And
Yeah.
I don't know if there is a parenting expert. I'm certainly not one of them, but it's such a fun thing to try to get better at. None of us are
100%.
business experts either, but we're trying to learn more and do better, learn more,
Yes.
do better. And so it's like, man, if I can apply that to my businesses, I can apply that to my family and learn more and do better. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And that really is what it's all about, right? It's figuring it out because if there was a parenting rule book, I think it would be wrong because how can it be right for every single person with every single type of kid in every single type of family dynamic? And so I just applaud you for you and Amy doing the hard work and showing up. I think you guys are incredible parents. And so I'm so happy that you came on the podcast. And guys, if you're listening right now, I hope that you have also gleaned some awesome wisdom from Dr. Caleb Braddock, just as I have. And I just want to say thank you so much for showing up. And also thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.